John chapter 15. Now we'll just begin to read this passage. It's not unfamiliar to you. Many of you have read this. Many of you have heard preaching on this particular text. We'll read the first five verses, then we'll stop to pray, and then as we examine the text, we'll pick up more. So just leave your Bible open. John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus Christ said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do very little." Is that what it said? Without me, you can do some things. Is that what it said? No, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful today to bow before your throne and pray yet again. Lord, there's something really good for us in this text. And the truth of the matter is, if you want anything done with it, you'll have to do it through me because there's no way I can do it. I see that in the text. Amongst us today, we may have those that are lost. Others have been praying already that they would be saved. I pray with them as well that they will be saved today. And I pray, Father, also for these that are gathered here today, Father, that are branches in the vine. May we see in this text what you have for us, and we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you look in this particular text right here, one of the glaring things that comes forth all the way through what we're going to see this morning is simply this. Our Christian life is not about what we do for Him. It's about what He does through us. You know, when we get around church and we get under conviction about certain things like that, we get sort of stirred up to become zealous. And what happens is we end up spending a lot of time and a lot of effort trying to do something for God. And I tell you what, I like that motive, but if we're not careful, it's us doing it and not Him doing it through us, and consequently then we're doing a whole lot of nothing rather than a whole lot of something. And as long as I'm going to be doing something, I would like to work efficiently. I would like to know that what's being done is being done because I am connected to a vine, I am a branch, and that branch is carrying what's happening on that vine so that it can be productive. He talks about fruit bringing forth and fruit coming that is abundant. Now the question is, how does He do this? How does He work through us? And it's very simple. There are three things that He shows us here, getting in the beginning of this little passage that we've read so far, a couple of things that we do, and some consequences to all of that. First of all, notice what He does here. He purges you. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know what that purging process is? That purging process is simply a matter of getting everything in your life out of the way so that there is a smooth transmission of, if you will, sap that is in the vine out into the branch and then on down to the fruit. Now, we actually know a lot more about health today than perhaps people did. We know these technical things. Isn't cholesterol a bad, a certain kind, the bad cholesterol, isn't that kind of a bad thing if you get too much of that? Because what does it do? It clogs up the arteries and causes a blockage. Well, if you get a blockage where the arteries and so forth are trying to pump blood and there's a blockage, there's going to be a restriction. There's going to be a lot more effort on the part of the heart to try to get the blood through that blockage. And then there's going to be, you know, an inefficiency. Like if the blockage is in the carotid arteries, then you don't get as much blood up to your brain. If you don't get as much blood up to your brain, then it's not good. We don't. We're concerned about that when it concerns our personal health. But you know something? We've got the same kind of problem between us and the Lord Jesus Christ as branches that are on that vine. When there are things in our lives that inhibit the ability of our branches to bring forth fruit, he says here, in our lives, then God, you know, God's going to have to get that stuff out of there. It's got to go. Now, I believe that you ought to be careful to a certain extent with your finances. I mean, in other words, you shouldn't spend more than you make. Okay? And there was a period of time here not too long ago that my wife and I decided that we were going to get on a budget. I'll tell you something, boy. Those can be grueling. If they are, or if they're forcing you to change your habit about how and where you're spending your money. So we got on this budget and so forth. But you know what I noticed? I noticed that there were times, I think it was Joe West that might have said, never resist a generous impulse to do something for the Lord. I'd get that little impulse to do something, but I'd say, well, not in the budget. Sorry. And part of the problem was this. In an effort to be wise about the future, quite a while back, we bought some gold and silver. That seemed like a wise thing to do, right? And that's what everybody's telling you to do, right? So we did that, and we had that stuff set aside there. And I'm telling you, we had missions conference last year, and Joseph Anderson got up and preached on Revelation chapter 3. We're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And I'm kind of getting needled. And then we had another missionary came in, and for somehow or another, he got off on gold and silver. And another guy, preacher, came in, and he preached, and he got off on gold. I'm saying, you know, you're trying to tell me something. I said, Lord, it's yours. You can have it anytime you want it. And one day, boy, I'm telling you, it was like he was just kicking me around. Dude, you got to do something with that. I can't spend that if you got it stored in your safe or whatever. I went, and I just got it all. And just said, here, you take it. You take it. All of it. So what'd you do that for? It was restricting. It was something that needed to be purged. It was restricting the work of the vine in the branch. Since then, a couple of impulses have come up that I knew were from the Lord. And you know what? Didn't make any difference. Psh, there it goes. And it's unbelievable how easy it is to be a conduit for the Lord when you're not bottlenecking what He's trying to do in the area of fruit production because you're trying to be smarter than God. Ultimately, and I'm not telling you to be irresponsible, you store up enough of that stuff, you'll get real worried about that stuff. You'll get worried about your 401k, and you'll get worried about the investment account, and you get worried about the gold, and so you get worried about all that stuff, and those things become a distraction. The next thing you know, God's trying to do something in your life, and it can't happen because you're bottled up. Amen. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. I knew that every one of you was going to be here today, and I kind of looked around and figured out which one of y'all were storing up gold and silver, and there's somebody at your house right now taking up an offering for the church, so don't you worry about that. I'll tell you something else about that purging. Our lives are loaded with distractions, and a lot of those distractions and a lot of those stresses we bring on ourselves. We all have to be careful with that. You get yourself overloaded with a lot of those things going on in life, and the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, in the form of the Holy Spirit, is trying to do something in your life, but you cannot concentrate on the work He's trying to do through you because you are overwhelmed by all the stuff that's interfering with His voice. And you know what He'll do? He's going to start purging some of that stuff out of your life. He has to, because ultimately, all that other stuff that we do that becomes that distraction, or all that other stuff that we worry about and think about that holds us back, is inhibiting a work He wants to do. That stuff He calls nothing. And what He's trying to do, He calls something. Have you ever seen a purged vine? You ever seen a purged vine where they're, you know, like a vine that's like a grapevine, when they've trimmed it all the way back and wait? It doesn't look like anything. You ever notice that? It looks like a stick. There's no leaves on it. There aren't any branches growing on it. It's just whacked up. And you think to yourself, wow, what is that ugly thing? Come back later and you're going to see an abundant amount of grapes hanging off of those vines. And you're going to realize why the husbandman cut it back so much. You know what? We actually get in a fight with God sometimes when He's trying to cut certain things out of our lives. You know, Adoniram Judson lost, I think he buried two wives in Burma and lost some children too. You think, what was that about? Evidently there was a purging process. But was he ever fruitful in the work that God gave him to do? It could be in the form of kids. That's a sad and tragic thing. But if they're saved and they're with God in heaven, it could be in the form of possessions. It could be in the form of country. It could be in the form of a number of things. But you feel that work by the husband coming to purge that vine down. Don't fight with God. He's got a purpose in mind. He's got something He's trying to accomplish. That's not all. He'll purge you, but I'll tell you something else He'll do. He'll clean you. Look at verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Years ago, and I think I might have told you this, I tell the story, I don't remember where I've told it, but years ago I got a telephone call from a guy that was listening to the radio broadcast. And he called me and he said, Brother Welder, he said, I'm here in Katy, I heard you preach on the radio. And he said, I've been called to preach. I said, man, that's wonderful. He said, I have a question for you. When you are preparing to preach, do you find that the Lord spends more time with you preparing the message or the messenger? I said, I'm never going to forget that question. Because you know something, a well-honed message with an unprepared messenger is going to fall flat. And a bad message with a well-prepared messenger is going to accomplish something. Yes, indeed, there's more time preparing the messenger than there is preparing the message. May I tell you something? Sometimes we've worried about, if I ever go out and talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, should I use the Roman road? Should I use the four spiritual laws? Should I use the John road or the Revelation road? These are maybe some you hadn't heard of. You know, should I use evangelism explosion? What method should I use? Look, get to be a prepared messenger and don't worry about that method. Because if your heart is prepared, God can do something through you. I mean, how many preachers were available the night that Jesus Christ was crucified? The night that He was tried before His crucifixion? How many preachers were available? None. They all scattered. So the Lord went around and He said, oh, I'll use you. And He got a rooster. He said, here, you preach the message. And, boy, He got Peter under conviction too, didn't He? Do you know what kind of preacher God chose to use when Balaam was disobeying God? He used a donkey. I feel like I'm in good company. Listen, if you want to think of it that way, so Jesus Christ is the vine and I'm a branch, right? So there is Jesus Christ running through these veins. But you know what else there's running through here? Sin. Sin runs through here. So if the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life cleanses the sin that's in here, then more of Jesus Christ is going to be available to bring forth fruit than the sin is. Do you see how that goes? And He says, you're clean through the word. We'll talk about that in just a second. But He'll purge you. He'll clean you. And another thing He'll do, He'll abide in you. Look at verse 4 and look at verse 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. We did a lot of yard work yesterday. We whacked off all kind of stuff. Hibiscus and what are those? Philodendron. And oleander and vines. I'm tired. We stacked it all up. There was way too much to go in the trash can and not time for the brush to be removed from the street. So it's just out there in the driveway. We'll take it out load by load. I saw that stuff this morning. You know what it looked like? It looked dead, like a lot of Sunday morning Christians. You know what I'm talking about, right? And that's because they've been cut off from their life source, see? But Jesus Christ abides in us, and we abide in the vine. No more can you accept. You abide in me. I am the vine, verse 5. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now, that's not just residence. That's not residence only. When you get saved, Jesus Christ takes up residence in your life. Okay, so every saved person has him, but abiding, if you look up the word, also entails submitting to and surrendered to and yielded to him. And that's his work. That's not ours. All right, my work is to yield. It is to surrender. It is to submit. So he does that. He's not interested in my ideas. He's not interested in my plans. He's not interested in my program. He's not interested in all that stuff. He's interested in what he can do through this vessel. What he's really interested in is somebody that will yield, see, surrender and submit. Then he can do something. Listen, if in the morning when it's time to work cattle, the horse has a plan and the rider has a plan and those are not the same plan, you know what you're going to get? You're not going to get a cattle working. You're going to get a rodeo. Okay. Now, when Jesus Christ got on that foal and rode into Jerusalem, no man had ever sat on that foal, the colt. But that colt did exactly what Jesus wanted and never pitched, never bucked. We do a fair amount of pitching and we do a fair amount of bucking. And that's because we're not as yielded as we need to be. And then you look around and you say, I wonder if the Lord sees or if God the Father sees the type of fruit Jesus Christ should be bearing in my life, or is he seeing a whole lot of me and not very much of Jesus Christ? Is he seeing something or is he seeing nothing? He has to abide in us. So we need continual fellowship. Now, I like fishers of men. You know that. Every time we get a chance to announce it, I'm all like, yahoo, fishers of men. But may I tell you something? If we get cranked up on Jesus at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon until 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon so we can be fruitful and then, okay, turn that off. And I'll see you 2 weeks from now. We'll click it back on. And we're only got that kind of thing happening when we're talking, scheduled to talk with people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not this. He's abiding in us so that he can speak to others about himself through us anytime he wants to, day or night. Do you understand? Without restriction, because we're submitted. We are his. He abides in us. Now, what are we doing when he's purging and cleaning and abiding in us? What's our involvement in this? Verse 7, he says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Notice if my words abide in you, and notice if you ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. There's just a couple of things you're involved in, prayer and Bible. That's not really that big a deal. We were talking in our Sunday school lesson this morning about teaching and preaching needs to be simple and repetitious. You think, what do you want me to do when I finish my Bible? Read it again? Actually, what I'd like you to do is just finish it the first time. Somebody said to me the other day, where do I start? I said, well, start in Matthew. I mean, that's a good place to start. Some say start in John. Some say in 1 Thessalonians. But I said, if you're really planning on reading your Bible, start in Matthew. Read all the New Testament. And that'll tell you what's going on and what's getting ready to happen. Then go back and read Genesis and you get all the way to Malachi. They say, okay, when you do that, what do you do? I said, do it again. So what happens when you get to that? Do it again. Why? Because those words have to abide in you. It's an amazing thing how many times I've read over various passages of Scripture. I can't even count. But I read them like I did yesterday. I read and I'm like, wow. That's beautiful. Where was that before? Maybe I saw it before. Maybe I didn't see it before. But the thing is, God's doing something. Those words are abiding in there. And he abides in there. And he says, if you ask what you know, you ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Why? Because once you're purged and clean, you're not going to ask amiss that you may consume it on your lust. Those things are gone. You're praying about things that are in line with what Jesus Christ is doing in your life. You start praying for people and their souls and salvation. You start praying about being in Moldova and the support necessary and all the things you need to learn in order. You see how that is? You start praying about the songs that need to be sung and the practices that need to be practiced, and you start concerning yourself with your daughter and where she can go to church when she's not living in the same town. And you see all that stuff, and God gets involved in those prayers because He's in there and His words are in there, and you're having fellowship with the Lord all the time. Listen, if you're having great fellowship with the Lord, it's no great shake if you run into somebody that doesn't know Him. You're already, it's just like, hey, let me introduce you to a friend of mine. You know, isn't it easier? Let's say, Milton and I are friends. Okay, let's say, and I'm over, yeah, there you go. Thank you. Yeah, you knew this was coming. Now you stay right there. Now, pretend he's over there like in Edroy and we're over here on the island. And here's Gonzalo. I say, man, I got this friend of mine. Yeah, there's a guy named Milton. You know, I sure hope you stay there. Sure hope you get a chance to meet him. Okay, that's like one thing. It's really hard for this guy to get a visual, right? Okay, now, come over here. Come on. These people are getting hungry. No. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine. This is Milton. Is this not more real? Okay. Same thing. When Jesus Christ is all in here and you're having great fellowship with Him and His words are all in here and you walk up to somebody and say, I'd like to tell you about my Savior Jesus Christ. That's no great shake. Because He's right there. Amen. It's just like we sometimes... That's what we're involved in. Just keep those words and keep that time in prayer with Him. So He's all. That's why He said, pray without ceasing. He's always ready on your lips right there. Man, back in the old day, there was an evangelist named Billy Bray. And they said about Billy Bray, they said he talked to Jesus so much while he was going through his day. When he'd come up and talk to you, you couldn't tell if he was talking to you or talking to Jesus. One day he was walking, he was... coming back in, they said when he walked, he said one foot hit the ground, said, glory to God, and the other foot hit the ground, said, hallelujah. Just always with the Lord. And so some of his friends, to play a joke on him, he had to cross a bridge and come out on the other side. They set up some sort of a PA system or something on the other side of the bridge and hit everything. And then somebody got a real gruesome voice. And the plan was, when his foot hit the bridge, they were going to go, Billy. And he's going, like, what? This is the devil, you know, and try to scare him late at night, you know. So he's coming along, glory to God, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, you know, and having a big time. His foot hit that bridge, Billy. And he goes, what? He said, this is the devil. And he goes, glory to God, I didn't know you were that far away. See, it's got to be real to you. You got to be connected, purged, clean, and abiding in Him while you're in prayer and in the Word of God. Now, if all that's going on, watch what happens. Watch what happens. Verse 8. His Father is glorified. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. He says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we thought, boy, I wonder how to give glory to God. You get close to Him and He'll make sure that His Father gets glory. It won't be like, and I thank God this doesn't happen here. I mean, I've never seen it happen here. I hope it doesn't start. But sometimes, you know, back in the day, you'd have people come up like that and they'd get ready to sing and they'd... like eat the microphone, you know. I'm just coming up here to do everything to the glory of God. Really? It's almost like I'm doing a performance. I hope God likes it as much as I do. But you know what? When Jesus Christ is doing it in you, God is going to get glory. And it may not be exactly what you wanted. He said to Peter, I'm going to show you by what death you will glorify my Father. And to Paul, he said, we're going to make sure you get beat up everywhere you go because God gets glory out of that. And to another man that was born, he's whatever he is, almost 40 years old. And he was born blind like that so one day Jesus could come by and heal him. And that was all for God's glory. It may not be all the that you wanted it to be, but it'll be all that God wanted it to be. God gets glory in that. Not only that, look at this in verse 11. Look at this in verse 11. These things have I spoken to you, unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. His joy comes forth. You know what? I have naturally a tendency to be melancholy. You say, that's a big word. What does that mean? It means this. It means blue. It means down in the dumps. It means depressed. That's kind of my nature. Now you look at me and you say, well, I don't see that. Well, if you don't see that, that's because you're not seeing my nature. You're seeing something else. Because my nature is to be like that. But you know something, I've got family members and they're, you know, they send emails, what antidepressant are you on? Because mine's not working good anymore. I'm not on any antidepressants. You know what I'm on? Jesus. I'm on Jesus. And I'll tell you, there's been all kind of things that he's had to do inside of here. But you know something? I have learned that I like joy a lot more than I like happiness. Happiness is something that like, our football team won. Woo! And then you wake up tomorrow and you say, ugh, but we got the same coach. Joy, joy, it doesn't make any difference whether the sun is shining or the rain is falling. Joy is there all the time. I like joy. I like joy because it really manifests itself when times are tougher. Nehemiah and them were all having a hard time. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. His joy comes forth. Now, let me tell you something. That's not all. Look here, something else that happens. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Not as much as you can say, but look, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, verse 13 shows you how great that love is. Greater love hath no man than this, a man lay down his life for his friends. Ooh, that's a lot of love. Boy, you know, this society talks about love a lot. I love you, brother. I knew a preacher and I saw him around some of his people, man, and he was just love, love, love all the time. Love you, brother. Yeah, man, you know I love you, brother. Hey, I love you, brother. And I'm like, that sounds so hollow to me. I'd rather not hear all that love you. I'd rather see it. Now, I don't mind hearing it like from Ann. I like that. But I want to see it. And you know something? I don't have within me naturally that kind of love that would really affect you so much. Why? Because naturally speaking, not only am I melancholy, I'm also pretty selfish. Naturally speaking. Come on, you're with me. You are too, I know. Look at me like, oh, wow, we didn't know our preacher was selfish. Wow. What else is wrong with you? I'm like you. That's what's wrong with me. Okay. But I'll tell you what, man, when God one day showed me how to fall in love with the congregation and I fell in love with you, woo! What a change that made in my heart. I look forward to being here. I look forward of us being together. Why? Because God's doing something in here that he calls love that is affecting my relationship with you, and it just draws us closer and closer together. I know that one day, somehow or another, the devil may get in here and do something in this congregation that would be awful. I pray daily that he doesn't do that. But I'm telling you, man, in my mind and in my heart and in my view, it's just getting better and better, and I wonder how in the world a congregation that falls in love with each other and falls in love with Jesus Christ and falls in love with his words could then turn their backs on each other and get mad enough to go their separate ways. Boy, don't you know the world looks at all that and they says, and you want me to be a part of that? I heard what's going on down there. Listen to this. if in our lives God is glorified and His joy comes forth and His love comes forth and you tell some about Jesus Christ and they see that in you, they're going to want some. They're going to want some of that because they don't have that. They're in the hospitals and they're all in despair. I've been around the hospital beds of people who are dying and I've seen two completely different reactions. I've seen one reaction where they're just wailing and crying out to whatever to fix this problem and get this person home. And I've seen others that are over there rejoicing because within 48 hours, our dear loved one is going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ face to face. And when the world sees this, they're going like, what is that? You know that's why fruit is produced in lives like that, because you've got a joy they don't have. You've got a love they don't have. And a father they don't have. And they get to where they want that. They get to where they want that. His fruit comes forth. Verse 16. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you, in verse 16, that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Notice all that again. Now, may I tell you something? We're wrapping this up in the next 30 minutes or so. No, I heard zippers. I was like, oops, not yet. You know something? My wife and I have had a good relationship and we've had some fruitfulness in our lives. May I tell you something? We've never borne tomatoes. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about getting beautiful tomato plants given to you and planting those and then letting those produce and not doing a very good job and killing the plant before it produces. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about she and I and our marital relationships have not brought forth tomatoes. You're going, we didn't expect you to. Stay with me. You know why? Because that's not in us. There's no tomato in us that would bring forth tomatoes. We have brought forth children. And you know why? Because that's in us. When Adam was made and Eve was made, he said, be fruitful. That's what we're talking about. And multiply. And you know what? We were fruitful and we multiplied. There were two of us and now there's six. You got that? I mean, I know that's an oversimplification of life. But the reason we were able to bring forth that fruit is because that's in us. Okay? Now Jesus Christ is in us. And you know what we're able to do? We're able to bring forth fruit because of Him. In other words, there's a reproduction process. If another person hears a testimony of all these things God's doing in our lives and another soul comes to Christ as an example, guess what? I didn't do that. But it was in me. Jesus was in me to bring that forth. When they could see Him and His Father's glory and His joy and His love and His cooperation to the brethren. Not an amazing thing? And so souls have come forth as a result of those things. You know where there's a great difficulty in this whole thing? You're seeing this. You got it? Does it all make sense? You know where there's a great difficulty? When branches compare themselves to each other. Here I am over here with my five pieces of fruit. Where did he get 50? He must have compromised. You cheated. That's not real fruit. I'm going to go over there and examine it. I bet it's artificial. Or, I got one. But you got 20? I quit. I'm not doing this anymore. If you don't give me as much as he has. You see where that is? That's nonsense. Why? Because we're all connected to the same vine, and the vine all comes forth from the Father. And it's whatever kind of fruit He is trying to produce. and bring forth on that vine. You see? The beauty of this whole passage is we're all connected to the same vine. It's not what you did versus what I did. It's glory to God, look what He did. I got one, you got 20, glory to God, 50, whoa, hallelujah. Why? Because it's what Jesus did. Not what I did, not what you did, not what we did opposed to. Oh, just get wherever He wants to do whatever He wants to do and let Him do it. Amen. And let Him do it. Let me just show you this last little piece and we really will zip them up. Look here in verse 26 and 27, all the way down at the end now. When the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with Me from the beginning. The fruit that is born, that is much that remains, comes forth simply as the result of that right there. Ye also shall bear witness. That's what you are. You're a witness to His glory. You're a witness to His love. You're a witness to His joy. You're a witness to His word. You're a witness to His answered prayer. You have a testimony. All right? And whatever He chooses to do with that witness, He'll get done. Let me just say this. This is reasonable. The more you witness, what? The more fruitful. If you never witness, you're not going to have much in the way of fruit. You witness, there's going to be some fruit. Isn't that right? Amen. Not you, Him. Spirit of God testifying through you to these things He's doing. Because He said, without Me, you can do nothing. Amen. And frankly, when this life passes, I'd like to be able to get up there and have Him be able to say, you know what? I was able to get something done through you. Amen. That's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. But don't forget, it starts with purging. Ah! You know what you're doing? You sure cut close to the quick. Ow! Oh! What are you doing that for? You'll see. Clean you up with that word. Answer a few of your prayers. Get in there close with you. And then He's going to do something. As a matter of fact, He's going to do anything He wants to do. And in the end, you'll be happy with it. And so will He. Amen? Amen. Father, we're sure thankful today for an opportunity to see this very clear passage of Scripture here. We're asking You in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us be faithful to what You've shown us in the Scripture here. None of us likes purging. Even cleansing can be difficult, but boy, we love it when You abide in us, and we love it when You answer these prayers, and we love it when You show us something special from the Scripture. Lord God, help us to be faithful to the work You're doing in our lives and submitted and surrendered to You so You can accomplish anything in our lives You want to do. That Your Father may be glorified. Thank You for Your joy. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your answered prayers. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that You get the fruit that You want abundantly. For we ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.